You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're at the point of the season with about 6 weeks left to go where teams pretty much know if they're contenders or if they're not contenders. I am Allison Footer. Let's look at the AL West and NL West. A lot of teams that are actually contending for division spots and wildcard spots. So let's talk to our reporters about that. Greg, okay, so good stuff going on with the Mariners, but also a little shuffling going on too. So James Paxton went to the DL, some rotation changes. Why don't you just like give us sort of an overview on what's going on there?
Yeah, that rotation, you know, for a team that's really made a good push and won 11 out of their last 14, you kind of look at it and sometimes, you know, maybe wonder why if you look at a rotation that suddenly with Wade LeBlanc, Ariel Miranda, and Cody Martin, three of the five guys who are going forward. Those are not names you would have expected not only the start of the year, but probably a few weeks ago even. They've had to shuffle. Paxton got hit in the head. Paxton, I think, probably their best pitcher really for the last 3-4 weeks, and took a hard line drive off his elbow in his last start against the Angels. He was in the ninth inning and he'd only given up one unearned run the entire game, pitching lights out, and just takes a shot off the elbow off from Andrelton Simmons, and they thought it wasn't going to be too bad, just a bruise, and expected him to be back earlier this week, but that thing, the swelling kind of moved down into his forearm, and it's just still causing him some problems, a little tightness when he's throwing. So they put him on the DL, and he's going to be out till probably about middle of next week. They expect him to slide back into their rotation. So they'll need to pick up a start from Cody Martin. They had Ariel Miranda. His spot started a couple times, filling in for Taiwan Walker, who was sent down to AAA. Nate Karns on the DL as well. You know, they traded away Wade Miley. So a lot of changes in that rotation. Really, just Felix and Iwakuma at the top is all you've got left from the guys you would expect it. And then Felix himself is out for a couple months. So that group has really undergone a lot of upheaval, and it seems to be kind of holding their own with a lot of help from an outstanding bullpen here recently. So they'll make their way. If they get Paxton back, I think that'll help a lot. We'll see if Taiwan can straighten himself out at AAA. They want to see him get a couple good starts down there, and if he can come back and be what he was early in the season, that would be a huge force. So certainly have the pieces there for that rotation, but kind of juggling them right now. Cody Martin getting a start tonight as we sit here in Anaheim. So interesting to see how he does. The guy out of Gonzaga University that's very excited about getting a chance to get a start for his the team he watched while he was pitching over Gonzaga in Spokane. So some good stuff. Ariel Miranda has looked pretty good, the guy they picked up in the Miley trade. And Wade LeBlanc has certainly been an effective veteran. So getting some good outings from those guys, but certainly would like to get Paxton and Taiwan back into that mix.
Yeah, so Martin, he had five relief appearances for them, mainly started at AAA, so he's all stretched out, and that's pretty much that's exactly what his role is, what he's about to take on, right? To be able to step in and make sure that, I mean, it is kind of like everything you're describing would tell me that with 6 weeks left in the season, this is a team that's probably not so much a contender, but they've played some of their best baseball since all this has happened, right?
Well, they have, and it's interesting. I mean, teams go through things. I remember when Jerry DePoto started the season, he said, "Hey, we need better pitching depth. This organization has to get deeper." You know, you use 8-10 pitchers as starters in a year sometimes, and he was thinking that was stretching out. Cody Martin will be their 13th starting pitcher this year, so
wow.
They've extended a little further than expected there, and then they've had 29 pitchers overall, count the bullpen, which is a club record as well for a season. And here we are still in mid-August, and September call-ups will probably flush that number out further. So they've done well considering all the turnover they've had, and DePoto's a guy who certainly likes to make moves and has made a ton of them, and seems to be making things work pretty well. I think considering what they've gone through, they're doing pretty darn well a couple games out of the wild card here as they hit the stretch run.
Yeah, so the bullpen before Tuesday's game, which was it was not pretty. But before that, 1.25 ERA over 14 games. The hitters were only batting 189 against these guys. So this rookie closer, Diaz, he's had a lot to do with just this surge. So as we know, bullpens are so, so key to not only getting to that finish line, but then getting right into October. So I would imagine, I guess everyone's pretty encouraged by overall what they've seen.
Sure. They found a difference maker in Edwin Diaz, Allison. I mean, there's no question. This kid, 22-year-old they brought up from Double A in midseason, and you know, it's one of their top pitching starting prospects, and they decided, hey, we like him as a bullpen guy, might be able to, you know, help us out earlier than we expected. That they flip him in Jackson to the bullpen. He's lights out down there. They promote him to Seattle and kind of start to work him in. And here we are, boom, in August, hitting a playoff push, and he's your 22-year-old closer. And he has been the difference, really, to me in setting up that bullpen. When they made the move to him, they were at 500 on the 2nd of August. Since then, they're 11-3. He's 7-for-7 in saves, and they're 8-0 in the games he's been in. 33 innings, Allison, 60 strikeouts. I mean, this is unprecedented.
Wow.
Levels of strikeouts with only 8 walks. I mean, he's been as good as any closer you've seen in baseball this year, and he's a 22-year-old kid, and teams are struggling to figure him out. It's interesting. I mean, he's putting up striking out two guys in the inning for a stretch, and the last few outings, interestingly, the strikeouts started to go down a little because they're coming out and swinging. They don't want to get down in the count. The kid coming in throwing 100 miles an hour with a wipeout slider to back it up. So, you know, they're coming out trying to be a little more aggressive with him. His last save against the Angels here, he only needed 5 pitches because they came out and just hit a couple weak pops, and then he struck out a guy on 3 pitches, and boom, he was done. So, team's trying to figure him out, and he is a guy that has definitely made a difference, you know, with some help from some other guys that have come on recently. But Edwin Diaz, I think, arguably pushing himself into, you know, I don't know that he'll win the Rookie of the Year because Michael Fulmer of the Tigers has been outstanding as a starter for a longer stretch of time, but I think he's going to put himself in that conversation by the end of the year.
TR, so this game that the Rangers rallied to win against the Oakland Athletics, very improbable for many reasons. One, just because of what they decided to do with Adrian Beltre, right? And then one, with how the whole thing ended. So as you're watching this unfold, what were some of your thoughts?
Well, you know, it was kind of amazing. John Axford is not a pitcher who's prone to that kind of wildness, but there's some questions about the strike zone all night, especially late in the game, and he kind of fell victim to that. I kind of felt if they got Carlos Beltran up there, he'd deliver. This guy is just an excellent hitter. He's, 39 years old, but he still knows how to, you know, hit the line drive, and he's just been a great addition to the middle of that order. And once they get him up there, I felt like the Rangers were in good shape. Obviously, the walk was kind of surprising. I know Bob Melvin's thinking behind it. He wanted lefty on lefty, but to me, putting the winning run on third base with less than 2 outs was pretty risky.
Yeah, did you, I mean, it worked out, but let's say it hadn't worked out. Would he have been skewered for that?
No, I don't think so. If it worked out for the A's, he would look like a genius.
That's true. So, are they kind of in the situation now where they just feel like they can pretty much overcome anything? I mean, there gets to a point where there is no there's no hump that they can't get over. When things are going well, things are going really well. I know that they've not, you know, they've had some up and down times the last couple of weeks, but really, just like games like that, I mean, what can that do for a team overall?
Yeah, they've been walking on the ledge all season long. They've had some amazing victories, some very close games, some incredible comebacks. I mean, they play with a lot of confidence when they're behind. It's amazing to watch them. Just one amazing victory after another. I don't know if I've ever seen a season like this where so many close games come down to the last at bat and come back in the making. It's been an incredible ride for the Rangers.
With Chu out, and really, that's a terrible injury. I mean, having to have surgery to insert a plate after getting hit on the forearm, I did not realize it was that bad until I was reading through everything. So they're going to try Profar as a leadoff hitter, and his numbers, not quite what you want to see from a leadoff guy. Of course, he hasn't had that many opportunities. So he seems pretty confident that he can sort of slip into that. He seems to embrace it. Is that correct?
Well, this kid, I've said this many times, I think this is one of the smartest young players I've ever come across. I mean, his baseball aptitude is really off the charts, and it'll take some adjustment. But, you know, when you watch this kid, if you look the other night, Tuesday night, he made an incredible catch in left field. He handles first base terrifically for a kid who's never played there before. You know, this, you look at Jerickson Profar. He's a switch hitter who's playing five different positions, and he's just amazing how he's able to slide from one spot to the other. I think he's batted in every spot in the lineup except for cleanup and ninth and the number nine spot. I mean, they're asking a lot of him, but again, his aptitude is so high that he can handle it.
So I have to ask you about, of course, the rotation. So, okay, first of all, Lucas Harrell going, he's now in doubt. He's got a groin strain. So that's like the last thing that the team really needed to hear at this point. They do have, Holland appears to be getting close. Lewis appears to be getting close. You know, I feel, and we talked about this before, like I feel like they're trying to just churn toward the end of, like, just get through August, and then they feel like they might be able to be, you know, more of a cohesive unit, putting themselves back again. But Lucas Harrell, I mean, that can't be good with now a Saturday start in doubt.
Well, they have two off days on Thursday and Monday, so they'll probably go with four starters. Derek Holland will probably make the next start when the fifth starting spot comes up. I think what you'll see is Harrell will go on the disabled list, and then Holland will slip into that spot, and Harrell will go into the bullpen for September.
And last question, are they watching, you know, it's a little maybe too early, and their lead in the AL West is obviously really huge, but is their scoreboard watching, or do they have, like, games of the Mariners and the Astros on when they're, you know, after their games? Do you kind of notice that stuff is happening?
I've never seen them watch a game on TV. I don't know I'm sure they know how far the Mariners are back, and This division is a little closer than people realize. The Mariners are only five games back in the all-important loss column. So this division is still up for grabs. So, you know, we're going to play in Seattle, and I think the Mariners come here at the end of August. So the Mariners definitely have a shot. The Rangers are not home free yet by any means. This could be an interesting race before it's all over. The Rangers fall off that ledge.
Richard, I just find this, I want to talk about Mike Sosha a little bit, because I was looking at, like, his contract status. I mean, it seemed like it wasn't that long ago that he signed that crazy 10-year contract. Not crazy because it wasn't a good idea, just that any team would commit 10 years to a manager. But that thing's coming up at the end of 2018. And just looking overall at, like, his career, not only as a manager, but just a baseball guy, this has to be very difficult, what's been going on the last couple of years. This cannot be this just can't sit well with him that he has to manage these kinds of teams.
No, he's I don't know that there's many managers in the game more respected. He knows how to run a game. He knows how to run a clubhouse. And, you know, every time the Angels do poorly, it always comes up, let's get rid of Socha. You're not going to get anybody better than Mike Socha. I mean, look at he's one of the gold standards for managing. And look at the guys from his coaching staff, Buddy Black, Ron Renicki, Joe Madden. I mean, he's run the graduate school of managers. Now, it is true, though. He's 17 years on the job, and there's no postseason wins in 7 years. And at some point, you have to be accountable. On the other hand, they've had some personnel decisions. They've had some personnel upheaval in the front office, and they've had a ton of injuries. And this is an important offseason. Jerry Weaver's a free agent. C.J. Wilson's a free agent. Nick Tropiano and Andrew Haney are probably out for next year. So you're left with hoping Tyler Skaggs recover. You're left with Shaheen. You're left with Shoemaker. That's it. And you're going to have to go on the free agent market, and Brett Anderson, Doug Fister, Jeremy Hellickson, somebody like that. There's lots of work to be done. But I would say this, in terms of manager and now having a general manager, Billy Epler, that he can work with. We all know he didn't. Mike and Jerry DePoto did not work well together. It all fell apart, and Jerry quit in the middle of the last season. I think they're in a good spot. But in terms of the roster, they need a lot of work to do. I mean, their starters, as you and I had this conversation, their starters have not won a game in 2 weeks. They're 0-10 with an 8-3-4 over 14 games. And this is a season when they've used 48 players. They've used 26 pitchers. It's been a disaster. You can't lay all that on Mike Socha, but at times, you know, everybody gets frustrated and starts looking for reasons that are not reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's in any kind of trouble. I don't think that he's not a good manager. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to just like get inside his head, which I cannot do. And he plays things close to the vest. Just like this, you know, what happens like when this contract is up or when he goes into the final season of that contract? I mean, the Angels could go any which way. We just don't know, right, like how this is going to go because they don't have a great farm system. In fact, they have one of the weaker farm systems. They have this these high-priced players. They have some good young talent on the major league level, but they have these contracts that, I mean, I'm looking at this Albert Pujols contract, and I'm like, this isn't good. And you just wonder, like, Asocia, is he an Angel for life? Are they going to want him? Is he going to want to stick around? I can't imagine that he would want to retire. And I just think it's just a fascinating dynamic, or just to keep an eye on, like, well, you know, what does he want to do?
Right, and I'd say down the stretch last year, he did the best job managing ever. He had ever done. I think they were eliminated on the last day of the regular season when the Astros won in Arizona. I think that's the way it went down. And he was having to piece a lineup together out of nothing every night. I mean, they were trading for B and C guys, and yet they kept them in contention. And the way I haven't talked to Mike in two or three weeks or whenever the last time they were in Houston. And the way he was looking at it then is micro bursts, micro sections. We played well. We did this. We did that. He's in a lot of ways, he's still a teacher at heart. And so the way he looks at it now is this. Look, we got to have Tyler Skaggs recover. He's had a rough recovery from Tommy John. We're counting on him. We're counting on Matt Shoemaker. So far, Garrett Richards has responded to stem cell therapy on his elbow. I mean, I know it's a long shot, but Masahiro Tanaka has pitched two years with it. It didn't work with Andrew Heaney. He underwent Tommy John surgery. And then you've got to have somebody from that farm system. They have a left-hander, Nate Smith, and a right-hander, Victor Alcantara. Both those guys, one's a triple-A, one's a double-A. They've been hit hard. But you know how it is. At some point a light comes on with pitchers, or it doesn't. They took a chance. They traded one of their best pitchers, Hector Santiago, to get Alex Meyer from the Twins. He's not pitching right now. He's had shoulder issues. But he's a big upside guy that Terry Ryan had lots of hopes for in Minnesota. And I think that's where you start. Then you look again, like we said, at the free agent market. Who do you want to spend money on? You want to spend money on Fister, Hellickson? You want to gamble Rich Hill can stay healthy, Brad Anderson, Andrew Cashner? But you do have a core. You have Trout. And Pujols is not the player he used to be. You can't get that money back. And the Angels only have about $100 million in salary commitments next year. You have Yunel Escobar is a good player. You have Anderson Simmons is a good player. You have Cole Calhoun. Johnny Giovatella, easy for me to say, has evolved into a pretty good second baseman, a position they had a long time fixed in. And C.J. Krohn is hurt now, has a chance. So, that's about all only way you can look at it is what do we have to build on, what can we count on, and it's going to be a slog, but having said that, like, are there any perfect teams in the American League right now? Look at the American League East. Every team's got a yes, but to it. Other than the Cubs, there are not any perfect teams in baseball. So, long term, are the Rangers and the Astros and the Mariners so far out in front of the Angels that they can't catch them? I would say that's not true.
I get where Bob Melvin was coming from on this. I understand the strategy. It could not really have gone any worse for them after the intentional walk to Adrian Beltre. I guess he was kind of tired of seeing Beltre kill him, right?
Yeah, I mean, Beltre is he's been an absolute A's killer this year, really, in his career. I think it's already 4 home runs a season against them. A couple of them walked-off home runs. I know that there's people out there that are criticizing the decision to walk him with third base open. But, I mean, you kind of have to look at the situation and, really decide on the lesser of the two evils. And I think you have to applaud his decision at the end of the day. I mean, yeah, it's very unorthodox, not normal at all. But that's the thing. It's the easy decision. Of course, you're not going to walk him. But the fact that he did, he thought that he had a better chance, a lefty-on-lefty matchup, getting a ground ball. And you know that if they had pitched to Beltre and Beltre did something, then fans, of course, would be all over him for not walking him. So really, I mean, he's in a no-win situation right there. And that is not what cost them the game. I mean, that's not why they lost. I mean, you look at John Axford's performance, and he was really impressive after the game last night, just real stand-up and basically saying, you know, I gave that game away, you know, walking three batters to load the bases with one out. I mean, that's really what hurt them. And he wasn't afraid to say that. And I think, you know, between him and Zepchinski, I mean, they took the blame for that loss. Zepchinski didn't even, you know, make excuses about, you know, when you throw four straight intentional balls and then have to come back and you're trying to throw a sinker for a ground ball, you know, that's not exactly easy to do. But at the same time, he's a veteran. He's done it before. He's been in the situation before. And he just didn't get the job done. And both of them were, you know, very accountable after the game. And you can look at the walk and maybe scratch your head about the intentional one. But it really was about much more than that last night.
Yeah. Axford really did step up, and he was beating himself up over it. He had a feel for the guy. Okay, so it's just one win, and or one loss, obviously, and we're not going to belabor too much on it. But Jed Lowry, you know, hey, we haven't talked about an injury to Jed Lowry for a while, which is sort of a miracle, so let's talk about it now. Having toe surgery now, there seemed to be more than just like a bunion or whatever it was, right? I mean, there was some kind of ligament damage in there, too?
Yeah, and I think that's why there was a little confusion with fans. You know, when you hear, oh, he's going to miss the rest of the season because he has a bunion on his foot. No, there was also ligament damage in his foot, which he's been dealing with for over a month now. And he tried to play through it, tried to play through the pain, and it just became pretty much unbearable. And even the bunion, I mean, if you look at it, those things, I mean, the way they protrude from the foot, it just makes things, you know, things like walking so uncomfortable. And then you add in, you know, trying to, you know, bat, field, I mean, just do anything athletic with it. It's not easy. And then the ligament damage, of course, just made it kind of all too much for him to take. So he got multiple opinions and decided, you know, that surgery was the best option for him. And I think it's only about a 3-month recovery period. So he said he'll be ready to go way ahead of spring training. And at this point of the season, you know, just where the club's at, I think it makes the most sense, you know, for him to just get it done. And I think he was most comfortable with just, you know, moving forward with the surgery and getting everything taken care of so that it doesn't become a bigger problem than it already is.
And the A's are, well, they're kind of moving to a youth movement, which, I mean, they're always in the youth movement, but they are definitely looking ahead to the future. So they're calling up, I guess, a pretty highly touted infield prospect, right? He was drafted just a few years ago. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Chad Pinder, one of their, he was a second round pick a few years ago. And I mean, you know, his progression has been very steady. He's gone up a level every year since he's been drafted, kind of a natural progression, but it's kind of rare when you look around for players to actually do it like that. He's spent time at each level and is now getting an opportunity. I know the A's have been high on him for a long time and got to see him, got to get a long look at him during spring training. He was with the big league club during spring training, and I know there were a few defensive things, you know, they still saw as a work in progress, but his bat has always impressed, and they like where he's at defensively. Have moved him around the field a little bit, drafted him as a second baseman, but he's since gotten experience at shortstop and third, which, you know, for this team, of course, they love their versatility, and that's kind of what they need right now. You know, not only with Jed Lowry out, but Marcus Semien's about to go on the paternity list for a few days. So they'll need a shortstop, and the fact that Pinder can play both those positions will really help them out. And I think, you know, it goes along with this whole youth movement right now and really trying to get a look at guys and seeing which ones they see as, you know, key pieces moving forward with this team.
Good stuff going on with the Mariners, but also a little shuffling going on, too. So James Paxton went to the DL, some rotation changes. Why don't you just, like, give us sort of an overview on what's going on there?
Yeah, that rotation, you know, for a team that's really made a good push and won 11 out of their last 14, you kind of look at it and And sometimes, maybe wonder why, if you look at a rotation, that suddenly with Wade LeBlanc, Ariel Miranda, and Cody Martin, three of the five guys who are going forward, those are not names you would have expected not only at the start of the year, but probably a few weeks ago even. They've had to shuffle Paxton, got hit in the head. Paxton, I think, probably their best pitcher, really, for the last 3-4 weeks. And took a hard line drive off his elbow in his last start against the Angels. He was in the ninth inning and he'd only given up one unearned run the entire game, pitching lights out, and just takes a shot off the elbow off from Andrelton Simmons, and they thought it wasn't going to be too bad, just a bruise, and expected him to be back earlier this week, but that thing, the swelling kind of moved down into his forearm, and it's just still causing him some problems, a little tightness when he's throwing. So they put him on the DL, and he's going to be out until probably about middle of next week. They expect him to slide back into their rotation. So they'll need to pick up a start from Cody Martin. They had Ariel Miranda. His spot started a couple times, filling in for Taiwan Walker, who was sent down to AAA. Nate Karns on the DL as well. You know, they traded away Wade Miley. So a lot of changes in that rotation. Really just Felix and Iwakuma at the top is all you've got left from the guys you would expect it. And Felix himself is out for a couple months. So that group is really undergone a lot of upheaval, and it seems to be kind of holding their own with a lot of help from an outstanding bullpen here recently. So they'll make their way. If they get Paxton back, I think that'll help a lot. We'll see if Taiwan can straighten himself out at AAA. They want to see him get a couple good starts down there, and if he can come back and be what he was early in the season, that would be a huge force. So certainly have the pieces there for that rotation, but kind of juggling them right now. Cody Martin going to start tonight as we sit here in Anaheim. So interesting to see how he does. The guy out of Gonzaga University that's very excited about getting a chance to get a start for the team he watched while he was pitching over Gonzaga in Spokane. So some good stuff. Ariel Miranda has looked pretty good, the guy they picked up in the Miley trade. And Wade LeBlanc has certainly been an effective veteran. So getting some good outings from those guys, but certainly would like to get Paxton and Taiwan back into that mix.
Yeah, so Martin, he had five relief appearances for them, mainly started at AAA, so he's all stretched out, and that's pretty much that's exactly what his role is, what he's about to take on, right, to be able to step in and make sure that, I mean, it is kind of like everything you're describing would tell me that with 6 weeks left in the season, this is a team that's probably not so much a contender, but they've played some of their best baseball since all this has happened, right?
Well, they have, and it's interesting. I mean, teams go through things. I remember when Jerry DePoto started the season, he said, "Hey, we need better pitching depth. This organization has to get deeper." You know, you use 8-10 pitchers as starters in a year sometimes, and he was thinking that was stretching out. Well, Cody Martin will be their 13th starting pitcher this year, so
wow.
They've extended a little further than expected there, and they've had 29 pitchers overall. Can count the bullpen, which is a club record as well for a season, and here we are still in mid-August, and September calls will probably flush that number out further. So they've done well considering all the turnover they've had, and DePoto is a guy who certainly likes to make moves and has made a ton of them, and seems to be making things work pretty well. I think considering what they've gone through, they're doing pretty darn well. A couple games out of the wild card here as they hit the stretch run.
Yeah, so the bullpen before Tuesday's game, which was it was not pretty. But before that, 1.25 ERA over 14 games. The hitters were only batting 189 against these guys. So this rookie closer, Diaz, he's had a lot to do with just this surge. So as we know, bullpens are so, so key to not only getting to that finish line, but then getting way into October. So I would imagine, I guess everyone's pretty encouraged by overall what they've seen.
Sure. They found a difference maker in Edwin Diaz, Allison. I mean, there's no question. This kid, 22-year-old, they brought up from AA in midseason, and was one of their top pitching starting prospects, and they decided, hey, we like him as a bullpen guy. Might be able to help us out earlier than we expected. They flip him in Jackson to the bullpen. He's lights out down there. They promote him to Seattle and kind of start to work him in, and here we are, boom, in August, hitting a playoff push, and he's your 22-year-old closer. And he has been the difference, really, to me, in setting up that bullpen. When they made the move to him, they were at 500 on the 2nd of August. Since then, they're 11-3. He's 7-for-7 in saves, and they're 8-0 in the games he's been in. 33 innings, Allison, 60 strikeouts. I mean, this is unprecedented levels of strikeouts with only 8 walks. I mean, he's been as good as any closer you've seen in baseball this year, and he's a 22-year-old kid, and teams are struggling to figure him out. It's interesting. I mean, he's putting up striking out 2 guys in the inning for a stretch, and the last few outings, interestingly, the strikeouts started to go down a little because they're coming out and swinging. They don't want to get down in the count. The kid coming in throwing 100 miles an hour with a wipeout slider to back it up. So, you know, they're coming out trying to be a little more aggressive with him. His last save against the Angels here, he only needed 5 pitches because they came out and just hit a couple weak pops, and then he struck out a guy on 3 pitches, and boom, he was done. So team's trying to figure him out, and he is a guy that has definitely made a difference, you know, with some help from some other guys that have come on recently. But Edwin Diaz, I think, arguably pushing himself into, you know, I don't know that he'll win the Rookie of the Year because Michael Fulmer of the Tigers has been outstanding as a starter for a longer stretch of time. But I think he's going to put himself in that conversation by the end of the year if he keeps doing what he's doing.